Okay. You guys all right?
Yeah.
Okay?
Some water?
Okay. All right, section two, looking at conformity. Again, not a long section, but I think a pretty interesting one. Something that definitely affects our life on a daily basis. Probably has some positive effects and also some negative effects, depending on the situation. Starting off by defining what conformity is, what is it to conform? Conform means to modify one's either attitudes or behaviors to make them consistent with those of other people. So you either modify the way that you think, or you modify the way that you behave, or possibly both, okay, to be consistent with those of other people around you. Okay? We conform typically when we are dealing with groups of people. So we know we've talked about this many times. We are social beings. We operate as parts of groups, parts of our, we're always operating mostly from family situations. We have groups inside of kind of our different spheres of life. That might be being in school, you're inside of a group right now, you're in a group. Also, if you're in extracurricular activities, or now what we're calling, I guess, co-curricular activities, that's another group. Probably also have a group of friends. It's another group. Very typical throughout our lives that we're operating as a part of a bunch of different groups. Okay? These groups are fulfilling our needs in a number of different ways. Okay? They give us belonging. They give us affection. They give us attention. All things that help us probably boost our self-esteem to a certain degree, make us feel better about ourselves, comfort us, okay? All good things. They offer support when we're facing tough times. Especially in those moments, I'm sure for most of us, we're going to turn to other people when we're not feeling very good. Some of us are not necessarily wired that way. We tend to internalize. We want to work through things on our own. But most of us, probably the vast majority of us, are going to turn to other people, turn to these different groups, whether it's peers, family, whatever, during these times for comfort. Okay? They may also help us in accomplishing tasks by dividing up that workload. You're doing it right now. Group activity, okay? That's just kind of one peripheral example of kind of how you can divide up a task. But kind of on a larger societal level, anytime you have group activities together, the flooding that we had, there were a lot of people that went and volunteered to sandbag for the flooding. Groups working together to accomplish a large task that one person couldn't on their own. So we see the necessity of groups. Yeah, we're social animals in the first place. Okay? On top of it, it helps us get by, it helps us accomplish larger tasks. If it wasn't for people being social, people working in groups, we never would have constructed the pyramids, right? No one person was going to do that on their own. We can accomplish great tasks because we work as part of groups. Why are you giving me a quizzical look, Kyle?
I thought the aliens made the pyramids.
No, they didn't. It was made by people. Largely slaves, but that's a whole different equation that we're not going to get into right now. Okay, so groups do a lot of different things for us. So in functioning as part of a group, if I can move this along, what becomes part of our world is different expectations or norms. What are social norms? Social norms refer to the standards that people share regarding behavior in a given situation. Okay? They tell us what is appropriate to, for example, wear to school, to church, to a wedding, or around the house on a Sunday afternoon. And we have different expectations for all these different situations. This is a manifestation of society. If we were living in the state of nature, none of this stuff would matter, correct? If we didn't live in cities, if we didn't live in villages, if we didn't live as larger groups of people, if we were still living in a hunter-gatherer civilization, none of this stuff would matter. It wouldn't matter what you wore on a daily basis. It wouldn't matter what you wore on a weekend. Okay, but because we live in society now, these things have become important to us. Okay. Social norms can be either explicit or implicit. And these should be on your study guide. Okay. Explicit norms are spoken or written rules. Okay. For example, a speed limit is an explicit norm. That's written down, it's written law. Everybody knows, everybody's aware of what that is. Okay. They're out there. It's no secret. Okay. So that's one kind of norm. An implicit norm, implicit norms are unspoken or unwritten rules. For example, what you wear in a given situation. Now, there's probably, to my knowledge, there isn't a rule book on what you wear, I don't know, after Labor Day or before Labor Day or all those different things, but you hear expressions that you wear certain colors certain times of year or whatever it might be. I'm not a very good dresser, so I don't know anything about this stuff. But I hear things. I pretty much wear the same thing a lot, so this doesn't really matter to me. But I hear things. But it's not really codified. It's not. There's nothing written down about the societal expectations of what we wear. It's just something that you're supposed to know. It's supposed to be probably passed down in families. Okay, those are examples of implicit norms. I'm a big baseball fan. And just recently there was a situation where a pitcher got very upset with another player because when the player grounded out to shortstop or whatever and he was running back from first base, and he cut across the diamond to get to his dugout and he went over the mound. He ran up over the mound, and this pitcher just went ballistic. And he went out in the papers the next day. It's like, next time we face this team, I'm going to bean that guy, and I'm going to hit him or whatever, which in the major leagues is pretty serious because they throw 90 miles an hour, and you could really hurt somebody. But he was just ballistic. He's like, it's an unwritten rule. You don't go across the mound. The mound is the pitcher's space. It's an in-your-face to go across the mound. Okay. That's not in the rule book. It's not written anywhere. Okay, but a number of people come out and said, yes, that's an unwritten rule of baseball. You don't go across the pitcher's mound. Okay. An example of an implicit norm, and we have them in society as well. So, Sullivan asked me, we watched a little bit of one of his studies. And he was pretty interested in this concept, you know, why we conform to each other, what situations will lead us to conform to each other. So in his investigation, he put a number of people together. Remember this study? I know some of you reported on it, did a project on it. But basically what he did is he put a number of people in a row, okay? Three out of the four, I believe, were Confederates. One person was being examined. Okay, kind of like the teacher in the Milgram study. One person in the row of people was being studied, everybody else was a Confederate, and they put up these cards with different lengths of lines. And you had like line A, B, and C, and they're all different lengths. And then you had to match the last line with either A, B, or C, whatever was the same length. And it was quite obvious which one actually matched. But what he found is that when he had participants that were faced with a question, okay, that had an obvious answer, and then everybody else in the group gave the wrong answer, up to 75% of the time, people would go against their own judgment to go along with the group, even if it was blatantly wrong. And it's pretty laughable. I mean, it's pretty laughable because the length of line is so obvious which two should go together. So it's not really a question of somebody being unsure and therefore going with the group. It's really saying, wow, this is obviously wrong, but I'm still going to go with it because everybody else is saying this. So this is probably one of the most famous studies in psychology. And you can see why this would happen. You know, all throughout our lives, we're paying attention to what's going on with other people. We're getting cues from other people, right? A lot of times, when we're not sure, we're going to look at other people to try to figure out what to do in any given situation. Okay? When you're not sure, if you walk into a formal situation and you don't know whether to stand or where to put your hands, you're going to look around at other people, right? Because I don't know what to do right here. Okay? I don't know, you walk into a party or you walk into church or whatever it might be. Are people standing? Are they sitting? Are they eating? There's food. Should I start eating now? I don't know. Am I going to offend people? You look around. Okay. So, kind of easy to see where this might come from. So why do we conform? Some of the different factors that lead us to conforming to others. Factors may include cultural influences. Some cultures, particularly many Asian cultures, the group is valued over the individual. Quite typical of the Eastern Hemisphere. You know, the United States is a very individualistic nation, so we don't fit into this category quite as much. But for many people, it can have something to do with cultural influences. Also, the need for acceptance. Most all of us have this. If you don't, you're kind of an exception to the rule. We desire, we want to be liked, we want to be accepted. Therefore, our tendency is not to rock the boat. If there seems to be a widely held opinion, we don't want to offend people, we don't want to go against people. And, you know, unless it's very, very important or we're very, very sure of ourselves. Okay, so sometimes when you go along with what other people think, they might like me a little bit more, okay, because I'm kind of affirming their values or their beliefs. Okay. Some other factors. Very difficult to go against an opinion if it's unanimously held. If there's a chink in the armor, however, and Ash discovered this, if not everybody is going against you, if not everybody is giving the wrong answer, okay, then it's easier to go with your eyes and or what you believe to be the correct answer. Okay? But when everybody else was giving the wrong answer, that's when 75% of people would go along with the group. Okay? When 2 out of 3 gave the wrong answer, then the person was much more likely to trust their own opinion. Okay? But anytime everybody else in the equation is going against you, it was much more difficult for people to kind of stick up for what they thought or what they believed in. Okay, so a number of different factors for why we conform. Okay, and obviously in society, there's some positive things that come out of this, and there's some negative things that come out of this. You know, some of the negative things that have come out historically would probably, you know, be along the lines of the Holocaust, people going along with some things that were pretty negative, violent, very unfair. But then again, all those other things, all the positive things that we get out of conformity, while looking around at other people and trying to see what information we can get from them, we kind of pool our information on a daily basis, okay? We work off of each other. So if I don't know what to do in a situation, I can look at Kelsey and she can kind of indicate to me, by observing her, I can tell what's appropriate to do right now. Okay, so in that light, conforming to somebody else if they know what to do is a good thing. So.
Okay. All right, what I want to do right now, I want to give